This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Interesting.
Thanks for making us your sports station.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Hey, man, it is a Friday in paradise. What a beautiful day. It almost feels like a crisp fall day at times today. Nice and breezy. It's beautiful. That's why you live in the A. We got plenty to get into. Mike Conti's going to jump on along with Squid Billy for our hashtag Dukes and Bell tailgate at home as we're going to be doing some grilling. You guys have already sent some photos from guys that jumped on the grill this week. Carl, don't forget our Hey Man Ale always goes great with, well, everything, as does our Hey Man Blonde Ale Watermelon Lime. My buddies at Oconee. Can't wait to do this. I'm doing a Manhattan steak, Carl. It's kind of like a more Mac Daddy version of a New York strip.
I was just getting my fajitas ready. I told you guys I was going to do fajitas last
night. Is that what the kids are calling it these days? Your fajitas?
I was playing with my meat. getting it all spiced up and ready to go. So I'm doing chicken steak. I'll talk more about this in our segment coming up with Dukes and Bell tailgate at home. But then I got, you know, cut all my peppers, but I was just literally marinating my steak because I want to make sure that's good to go when I get off tonight. I'll say this. You're right. It does remind me of a fall day today. That's really because the wind's blowing, you know, trees are moving, although there's no leaves coming off. It's just gorgeous outside. So I'm with you, man. That's something that struck me today when I got up. I was like, man, we got all that rain, and it rained like cats and dogs. Charles wasn't lying. I mean, it's been a hell of a spring for us here in the South. But – And Mike, even down there in Coweta County, you know, they had a tornado hit a few weeks back, actually about a month, I guess, or so now. But we're all been dealing with it, so it's good to get some nice weather, man. Hey, coming up, Joe Patrick, Braves insider, also going to join us at 3:20. Now, Mike, we really haven't talked a lot about the Braves. It's been a busy first hour of the show, but it was good to get the sweep. Do we still have concerns? Yeah, but that doesn't mean that this team's going to stink and not win. And I got to say this, too. For all the guys who continue to talk about whether, you know, and Smiley, listen, we've both been critical of Smiley. I said he's got to be better. He was better yesterday. But whether it's Smiley or Luke Jackson, just because guys get in trouble doesn't mean they suck, okay? When guys get in trouble, meaning putting bases or runs or hitters on pace, and then they're able to work out of it, okay, and get out of the inning and no runs are scored, that's okay in baseball. Mike, I was surprised last night at the vitriol of Luke Jackson. And maybe it's just because it's Luke Jackson. Oh, he's terrible. And I'm like, slow down. He got out of the inning. Sometimes you give up a couple of hits. If Snit or any manager allows you to work out of it, it doesn't mean you suck. So I got to say that because it's been bothering the hell out of me. Like, guys are going to give up hits. Guys are going to get on base. It's Major League Baseball. But it doesn't mean that if a guy works out of an inning, Mike, and he doesn't give up 5 earned runs, that he's terrible.
Yeah, man, I know that you and I had said, and this, how much of, do you feel there was pressure on Smiley that this was like a make or break start?
Yes.
They would never, like, what's Snicker going to do in a press conference? Well, you know, talk to the guys upstairs, and if he doesn't get it, they're probably going to get sent out there to Gwinnett. I don't know. Maybe designated. No, I mean, they were never going to say that, but I mean, at some point, I mean, 5 or 6 starts and you're not finding any way to support your team, whether it's blowing the lead or just giving up runs right from the jump. Smiley finally looked like the guy we're paying the money. It's not big money by MLB standards, Carl, but he definitely earned it. And I'm just loving the poise. If you didn't watch the game yesterday, Carl and I, it was on YouTube yesterday. You and I were watching it. Boy, did the Braves get lucky in the eighth inning with
a call.
But again, if you've been watching the Braves every night, and you guys obviously do, Carl, boy, were we do or what? It all evens out. They always say it, it's cliched, but man, the Nationals were losing their minds. But we've been screwed so many times by the Braves, I can't even keep track.
I'm with you. And I'll take that call any day, especially on the road. That's what surprised me. Like, you don't get that call on the road. But we got it. Keep it moving. We win the series. Will Smith comes in, closes it out. But we're going to talk to Joe Patrick about that. And by the way, if you dislike Luke Jackson, and I'm using him as an example, but it goes for Smiley, who struggled as well. And guys get in trouble. Max Fried's going to get in trouble. Now, I know you're going to say, well, he's better than everybody else. And he probably is. But just slow down. Save the vitriol for when things really go bad. When somebody puts a guy on base, it's not going bad. It's not things haven't completely fallen apart. But I know, Mike, there's a disdain for Luke Jackson. I understand that. I get it from the last few years. But I told you guys, he's in a role that he needs to be in now. He was never a closer. For this role that they have him in, he's going to be fine. You know, he's going to be okay. And he's going to walk some guys, and he's going to get some guys on base, and he's going to have a bad night every now and then. But that happens, and when he works his way out of it, he's not terrible and he doesn't suck.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he's all right. Reminds me of, you know, okay, Cooter did a nice job. We'll give him that, okay? Even Randy Mack had to admit that today on Andy and Randy. But I'm with you. It's never going to be pretty, but he is what he is.
I don't know. I mean, maybe.
Everybody just don't – I think, again, it's easy. That's easy because you felt like he sucked the entire time when, in fact,
he's got – look, like so many guys, like Sean Newcomb, he's got great stuff. I don't think, you know, oh, boy, we got to have another jam is the way you appreciate a good baseball pitcher. But, you know, I mean, Braves fans seem to
amass. That's what pitchers do. They get out of jams.
Yeah, but again, jams that he inherits is one thing, Carl. Creating your own jam is another.
It is, but that's what pitchers do.
But that's why
you allow him to work out of jams. If every time a guy got into a jam and you pulled him out of an inning, Mike, we wouldn't have anybody.
Well, no. There's letting Soroka, Fried, and Ian Anderson and Bryce and the young guys learn how to pitch out of jams, and there's a guy whose job is to not put guys on base because he's a relief pitcher.
Yeah, but relief pitchers come in and inherit jams too.
Yeah, I know. I'm saying there's one. If you're inheriting runs, that's one thing. He creates disasters. He creates these moments.
And there was a lot of gut-wrenching moments.
Yeah, you're darn right, Skip.
You guys, man, you guys are killing me. Let's get to an NFL Blitz!
Welcome to the NFL. With news and notes from around the league, this is NFL Blitz on Dukes and Bell.
NFL Blitz brought to you by our friends at Priority Men's Medical Center. Check them out at PriorityMen'sMedical.com. Lots going on around the NFL, and I can't wait to talk about what's going on in college football because it's interesting. I'm not going to tell you I have all the answers, but it's very interesting as to what's going to be happening here in Georgia. The NFL and NFLPA could be headed towards a fight. Mike, this Juwan James story, guy works out, not on what I call campus, which is the facility, gets injured, and now they're saying he could be out of $10 million. And the NFLPA is like, whoa. They called this gutless by the NFL, basically for using a player's serious injury as a scare tactic. As what the NFL is doing by saying, hey, he wasn't working out on the facility, so, you know, he might not be worth or privy to his money this year. I think it's crap, but I also think that if you sign the contract and it says this is where you have to work out, which I don't know in this situation, then they might have a case.
I know that the NFL players, there's a large chunk, you and I spoke about this, I think it was Wednesday, that didn't want to sign off on the new CBA. But they did, or the majority was it was carried, Carl. This is, yes, and I agree. I mean, I don't think that it's you know, you're sitting there being glib. No, the ownership, and they're going to put it out there. Look, here's what happened. Didn't want to come into the training facility. Now look at them. But, I mean, this is why, guys, if you don't like the 17-game season, what are you going to strike? You can't. You signed off on this. Part of your contract was they may expand the season. They did. Now, one of the things you don't have to do is show up, so they're not going to. And they were going to throw out all the numbers about how the injuries went down. Okay, maybe for the 53rd guy on the roster, but I know a hell of a lot of star players were hurt last year.
Yeah, it's just, it's a very interesting proposition that's going on as far as players. Do I work out on my own? If I do, if I get hurt now, am I not getting my money? I mean, come on. I just don't think you can have it both ways. You can't tell players, it's okay for you not to be at the facility. We understand COVID. And then when things happen, well, it's not okay. So I don't know what happens in this situation, but we'll keep an eye out. Meanwhile, our head coach, Arthur Smith, went on the Rich Eisen show. I'm going to play this a couple of times because I want you to tell me what you guys think. Rich Eisen asked him about Julio Jones, if he's going to be here.
So you expect Julio to be out there this fall?
I'm not going to predict the future. It's like when you're sitting here trying to predict the weather here.
Okay.
You know, we'll see what happens. I mean, the cap is what it is. We know that. That's why, you know, Terry and I are sitting here, and I'm sitting here talking to you. There's a lot of ways to get under the cap. But, you know, all options are on the table. But I'm not going to give you some hot take today and tell you something that's not true. So
he's gone. I'm saying it. Why doesn't the head coach say, of course, Julio's going to be here? We're going to work through these cap issues, and we're going to be fine. We're going to be fine. He's going to be a part of our football team. That's what I want to hear as a football fan. If you're a Julio fan, that's what you want to hear. He didn't say that. Play it again, Chris. This is on the Rich Eisen Show, how our head coach answered the Julio question.
So you expect Julio to be out there this fall?
I'm not going to predict the future. It's like when you're sitting there trying to predict the weather here.
Okay.
You know, we'll see what happens. I mean, the cap is what it is. We know that. That's why, you know, Terry and I are sitting here, and I'm sitting here talking to you. There's a lot of ways to get under the cap. But, you know, all options are on the table. But I'm not going to give you some hot take today and tell you something that's not true. So
you and I were talking about this before the show today, Carl, on text. I listened to it with Rich Eisen. And, yeah, I mean, tough questions for a first-year coach to have to field when you're talking about an iconic player like Julio. And so many of the fan base still don't understand the dynamics at play with the cap. But it sounded to me like a little bit of tap dancing there.
Unless he's not going to be – well, check that. If he's going to be here, let me ask you this. What's wrong with your head coach saying he's going to be here? See, I think you're even causing more doubt by answering the question that way. And I'm not saying Arthur Smith is lying by any stretch of imagination. I think he's completely honest. I'm not going to tell you something. I think he used the word hot take. I'm not going to give you a hot take that's not going to be true, you know, moving forward. But his whole thing was, we're going to see how it goes. Really? Mike, that doesn't sound like a guy that's going to be back here with the Falcons.
As I said, you know, it's he addressed it.
And
well,
I hope I'm wrong, by the way.
I mean, but it's almost like we really didn't want this information to get out, but it's out there. And, you know, I mean, I don't know what to tell you. I'm not a capologist. I know we have some issues with the cap. I mean, again, and for the record, all I know is what I hear from the experts, and that's D-Led. Thanks, Mike! D-Led said that maybe Grady reworks the contract. I don't know if Julio has been asked to give us something back, because that's what, I mean, there's really no more to, correct me if I'm wrong, Carl, they don't want him really around much longer because of the injury concerns.
Yeah.
And I think, and nobody wants to say that on record either.
I'm not going to give you some hot take today and tell you something that's not true.
I don't blame anybody. I mean, that's a tough road to go down, man, you know?
Yeah, when I heard that, I was like, okay. I just expected more clarity, I guess.
Right.
And there just isn't. And you know what? Maybe there isn't because the deal's not done. Maybe they're not done renegotiating deals or extending guys or restructuring. I mean, all of that is still at play. So, I mean, clarity is something maybe that – I may be too soon to ask that, Mike, but I just thought he would come on and it'd be one way or the other. And by the way, if it was the other way, I'm not going to be upset if he came on Rich Eisen, Mike, and said, hey, we've tried to do everything we possibly can to keep Julio, and as of right now, it looks like he's probably not going to be here.
Or
I would have been fine with that.
I mean, I don't know. You know, I got to be honest. You know what I would have said?
What?
Again, when there's front office decisions, I know right now Julio Jones is a Falcon. You know, I don't know. I mean, if someone say it's a Dodge, but it's just a slippery slope. It's a tough question, and it's a tough situation for them to be in. It's tough for us to talk about because a lot of folks love the idea of Kyle Pitts, but it's Kyle Pitts with, you know, .. Julio Jones and Calvin Ridley and everybody else, and I just don't know how we're going to be able to pull this off. And then what if the market value for Julio isn't even a second rounder? And then the organization's got to dump him up before on June 1st for a third or a fourth rounder. People are going to lose their minds over that. I mean, you think so or not?
No. Well, listen, Quincy Rucker just hit me up on Twitter. Mike Bell, ATL.
What's up, Q?
Mike. Quincy Rucker, Mike, says, Terry Fontenot, and I'm not making this up. He's just said this. Terry Fontenot should be fired if he trades Julio Jones. Heads will roll if that crap happens. Quincy, it's not Terry Fontenot's fault where the position of the organization is.
That's what he inherited.
Yes. He's coming in and he's trying to fix this so we can have some flexibility moving forward. Don't blame the guy, okay? After the economy fails, that comes in and tries to fix the economy. That's what we're talking about. I mean, honestly, I'm not looking at Terry Fontenot as a bad guy here. he's going to get that label because Julio is a beloved player, but he's trying to fix some of the things that are wrong. Jab Johns, that's his Twitter handle. I disagree, man. It could simply mean that all options are really on the table. Negotiations are probably just being, you know, ongoing. Jab, I hope you're right. As I said, I guess I want more clarity. Mike, maybe
I said it, Mike. He screwed us. Because you know what? He was careless and he was carefree.
So that's Carl Dukes talking. No, Carl Dukes talking about Julio Jones. That's what I heard, Carl. I know what I heard.
That was for Dimitrov.
But this is how we got into this thing. You know, when you trade up, 20 some odd spots, you know, that guy, you're basically stuck with that guy. You're never going to lose him ever. You know, and we had to give a guy a raise with 3 years left. And unfortunately, the ship has sailed, boys and girls. And now we're, you know, it's a shame. It should never come to this for a legacy guy to have to be a cap casualty. But look, I mean, there's no cap in baseball. Pujols got cut just because he can't do the job anymore. We're going to find out just how much Julio's got left. Maybe it's here. Maybe it isn't.
Oh, Mike. Maybe I'm taking the day. I'm with you on this. I mean, the more we talk about it, I'm like, I don't know if I want to deal with that. All right, man. We'll talk about what Nick Saban said. The doctors got wrong about Dylan Moses. Coming up at the 4 o'clock hours, we talk some college football. Joe Patrick's on the way. Braves insider talks to us next. All right, let's talk about the Braves. They come home after sweeping the Nationals. Good series, by the way, for us. Still have concerns and worries and all of that. But listen, if they continue to win, all of that stuff will subside and we'll be fine. It's Philly now, and this is a big series coming up. Joe Patrick, our Braves insider, joins us, brought to you by Jersey Mike's, be a sub above. And let's rewind. Mike and I were talking about that call late in the game yesterday that we got. Joe, I was more surprised we got it on the road. But you know what? I mean, I'll take it. I'll take any of those calls anytime it equals a win, right?
That's right, yeah. The human umps give us and the human umps taketh away, right? And that time they happened to give us, the Braves, a nice little boost there. Yeah, I mean, that was huge. And, you know, the Braves were actually on the wrong end of some really bad calls along those same lines. I think Christian Pache got a really raw deal on a strikeout earlier in the game, but obviously that was just such a key spot. But, yeah, I mean, what a huge series. The team really needed something like that to happen after that Blue Jays series. It was funny because I was kind of talking more optimistically when we talked last week, and then they went out and got their butts kicked for three games in a row. So good to see the wins, and also good to see just kind of the way they were able to do it. Brian Snicker talked about, you know, they were stressful wins. It was wins that required, you know, every part of the team, whether it was getting enough offense or the bullpen, you know, doing just enough to get you through it. And so I think that was kind of a good test for the team to get those wins and get that confidence built up.
Yeah, man, a game under 500, as we've said, we keep using the Nats, and 2 years ago is kind of like, hey, if you're 12 games back on May 23rd, you can still win. And not the division, but you can still go win a World Series via the wild card. Are you getting enough from Drew Smyly? We were not sure and the organization was never going to say it, Joe. I think you'd agree. But at some point, there were some, you know, nut-up, make-or-break starts, and Smyly delivered yesterday.
Yeah, totally. I think that everybody was very concerned about him. And I think that, you know, those concerns won't go away totally with one good start. But I do think it's important to kind of keep in mind the fact that he was coming off an injury. And while he was hurt, there's no minor league season going on. So he's not able to make a regular rehab return like you normally would. And so he came back and he wasn't looking himself for those other two starts that he made before this one yesterday. So it was good yesterday to see, you know, his stuff still wasn't great, but it was good enough. The location was better, and obviously he got the production or the pitching production he needed to have a good start, and hopefully that builds his confidence a little bit. You know, just hearing him after the game talk to media, I think it was very evident that it was a big relief for him to just kind of, you know, he was like, finally I get to celebrate with this team for once. Because, you know, these starting pitchers, even if the team wins the game, you know, they never feel good if they come out the game and don't hand the bullpen a lead. So good for him to kind of just get that good feeling like the team has over these three games. And hopefully it's a good sign for him to continue that trend because, you know, the Braves really signed him off of a really small sample size from last year. And so there have been questions, but good to see him get that under his belt.
Hello, Marcel. What about Marcel Ozuna? Yeah. Is he starting to heat up, Joe?
I think so. I mean, Brian Snicker was alluding to it. He said that, you know, for about a week before he started hitting the ball here this week, that he was starting to get going. He was just getting a little bit unlucky. And I think that we're starting to see the real Marcel that we grew accustomed to last year. You know, he hit that home run the other day that went out to right center, and he kind of pinpointed that as like, that's a really good sign for me. When I'm hitting the ball in that direction with that much power, that's a really good sign that the swing is on target. And then yesterday, that double that he hit, really nice to pull his hands inside and get around on that. So I think that's the kind of Marcell Ozuna that we grew accustomed to last year. The guy nearly won a Triple Crown last year. I mean, it's incredible to think about how good he was, because he was kind of overshadowed by how good Freddie Freeman was last year as well. So great to see him kind of get that good feeling again. And also, he's such a spark plug for this team, not just with what he does with the bat, but like when he's going, when he's feeling good, you know, that energy, he really brings it, a lot like Ronald Acuna. You know, when these guys are out there having fun, you really feel it kind of reverberating throughout the team, I feel like. And so for that reason, it's especially great to have him going again.
It is our man Joe Patrick, our Braves insider here on Dukes and Bell. And I think he's got two more hits, does Ozuna, than Dansby. Carl and I were talking about Dansby yesterday. He looks like a lost puppy up there at times, Joe, at the plate. When is that going to start to turn around?
Yeah, I don't know. It's a really interesting one, because he was a guy I would not have tabbed to have such a poor start to the season. I don't know if we talked about it on this show, but I've talked about it with some of the other shows this season, saying that, you know, with Chipper Jones coming on as a hitting instructor or a hitting consultant, whatever his role is, his title is with this team, you know, he's a guy that Dansby really seemed to have benefited from when he came on and started working with him in 2019 a little bit. And so I would have thought that this would have been a great year for Dansby, especially considering, you know, he's getting to that point where he's trying to work for that big contract and when he hits free agency, and, you know, it just hasn't really come around for him. And I got to say too, like in the field, it seems like he's making a lot more kind of simple errors and mistakes that aren't necessarily errors by definition, but they're just plays he would make in past years, and he's just not making them. So I don't know exactly what's going on, but hopefully he can turn around. I couldn't give you any indication as to whether that will or won't happen or when it might happen. But, I mean, I think the optimist look at it is that if he does get going, I mean, we can start to see the makings of this lineup getting really long if you get him going. And when you see what William Contreras has done so far, you know, he's kind of come in and been a spark plug for this team as well.
It's Joe Patrick, guys, brought to you by Jersey Mike's. Be a sub above. So it's crazy to think that Oscar Yanoa has been your best pitcher. Now, Max has been out, no Soroka. But is that far-fetched to believe that he's, you know, in his starts, he's been your best pitcher thus far?
No, I mean, I think that, if you go by the numbers so far this season, it's probably between he and Ian Anderson as to who's been the better one. And you know, outside of really one start, Oscar Yanoa has been, like, absolutely dominant, which is pretty incredible. But it's so fun to see. It's surprising because you haven't heard him talked about in the same vein as we hear about Bryce Wilson and Kyle Wright and these guys who have kind of been the blue chippers, quote unquote. And Oscar, you know, was acquired in a kind of a throwaway trade that the Braves made several years ago. But, you know, and he's younger than those guys too, which is crazy. Like, we should be more optimistic about Oscar, you know, and what he's doing than some of these guys that we've been holding on hope for many years now. It's just really exciting to see. And you can tell when you talk to Brian Snicker or these players, you know, they talk about it, like, man, he's got the stuff. And, you know, one of the questions marks about him and one of the reasons why he wasn't really a nailed on starter for this team coming in the opening day was because he's basically a two pitch pitcher coming into the season. He was basically a fastball slider type of guy. Both pitches pretty good. But when you only have two pitches going, you know, as a starting pitcher, that can be a big vulnerability for you. But he's already starting to incorporate a changeup. And when you can incorporate a changeup on top of a good fastball and slider, it just makes those two pitches so much better and keeps hitters so much more off balance. And so that's really been a big help to him. And I think it just shows how quickly he's been able to adapt to his game. And I got to say, by the way, you know, he's already hit two home runs this season after he admitted to having, like, barely swung a bat in his career. And Marcell Ozuna told a great story about when he hit the grand slam the other night. He said that, you know, he came off the field all mad in his second at bat because he was like, oh, I just missed it. And he knew he could have hit it there. And then again, then he goes out for his third at bat and hits a freaking grand slam. And it was not even close. I mean, this thing was way over the fence in right center. So pretty funny story there. And hey, maybe you got a hitter on your hands as well.
I was going to say, if you can play shortstop. Hey, man, it's our boy Joe Patrick. Smoking Joe, as they call him on middays. He joins us here on the WaitFor.com hotline, Atlanta's Ford dealer. So we talked yesterday with John Heyman, another MLB insider. Shane Green is out there. I mean, what do you think? I know that we got to see, was it Santana, the guy that came over from the Pirates? That was a bit iffy yesterday. But, I mean, the bullpen and especially the setup situation. I'd love to see Shane Green here. What do you think the holdup is?
Yeah, well, you know, and there was some more shaking up of the bullpen today with Carl Edwards Jr. getting called up,
hey!
You know, and then designating Nate Jones for something. Yeah, I know. It's like that, I thought Carl Edwards Jr. was going to make this team on opening day, and then of course he goes out, and then it's weird that he couldn't ever find a team, so he comes back to the Braves. It's, what a weird carousel, like merry-go-round this bullpen arms have had. But then, yeah, you got Shane Green out there, who reportedly attended a Braves game just as a fan several weeks ago. I think it says something about the fact that he is still out there. I don't know if the holdup is him demanding a certain amount of money or demanding a certain type of role. I mean, he is a confident guy. I'll never forget, like, when the Braves traded for him, he came in and he was pretty, you know, brash in the clubhouse. But, you know, I think it does say something that the Braves have not resorted to making that signing. And I don't know if that's more about the Braves not having the kind of money that Shane Green would want, or them not thinking that Shane Green is the kind of pitcher that they want to add. But it certainly is an oddity that he is just kind of standing, floating around out there, and nobody seems to really want him right now.
All right, let's talk about these Phillies coming in. How big is this series? I know it's early, right? But, you know, my concern has always been here in the first month or so that I don't want to get behind. I don't want to be 5-6 games out. And then we're struggling with these injuries and all that. It hasn't played out that way. We're in the mix. Nobody's running away with this division. But how big is this Philly series?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's a big series because you look at it, the Phillies come in at 17-15. The Braves are 15-16. So if you sweep the series or even win the series, obviously you close down that gap where you could even overcome the Phillies. But if it goes the other way, then you're looking like, oh, man, you got a big kind of – obviously that gap is getting quite large, and this guy that they're going against tonight, Zach Eflin, he's given the Braves fits this season. So, you know, it's not going to be an easy task, but I do think that, you know, I think it's going to be super exciting to get down there. I can't wait to get down there after I get off this call to just see all the fans coming into the stadium and the positive energy that will all generate. I think the Phillies will probably love it as well, playing in front of all the fans. But, yeah, I mean, it's obviously a very important series, and it was so important for the Braves to make up all that ground by sweeping the Nationals earlier this week, and hopefully they can just keep that momentum going in these division battles.
Well, again, it's going to be electric down there, man. I'm jealous. I'm jelly, but have fun, man.
I will.
All right, man. Joe, thank you again. Brought to you again by Jersey Mike's. Be a sub above. That is Joe Patrick, our Braves insider. Coming up, it's a hashtag Dukes and Bell tailgate at home. It's a Friday. That means we're going to tell you what we got cooking for the weekend. Beautiful day today. It's going to be a great weekend. Joe's talking about the Braves plan. Atlanta United as well. They're on the road, though. But point is, lots going on, man. It's going to be another great weekend for you to tell us what you've got working. We'll come back. Mike Conte will join us. Bo Morgan as well. It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and Odyssey.com. Oh, it's another Friday. Hashtag Dukes and Bell tailgate at home. We're going to let you hear what Nick Saban had to say to one coach in response to what one coach had to say about Alabama. That's on the way. And also the latest with Georgia and what I think is going to be an interesting thing to watch here, not only this season, but as we move forward. We'll tell you all about it coming up. Bo Morgan, what is going on today, my man? You ready to cook?
Man, it is a beautiful day outside. I even hit the driving range earlier this morning. So I'm ready to cook, but not tonight. Tonight we're celebrating the anniversary that was yesterday. So we're hitting up a little hibachi joint that's down the road from us. Love hibachi, man.
How long you guys been together, by the way?
Well, we've been married for 4 years, and we've been together for 10, I think.
Wow! Congratulations. Yeah.
Thank you. And oddly enough, our dating anniversary and our wedding anniversary fall. We know the wedding anniversary. We don't 100% know the exact day, but they're about the same day. So, right on the same time. So kind of joining that up.
So hibachi tonight for the anniversary.
Yeah, and then with it being playing some golf tomorrow, one of my neighbor's birthday, so he's got a party. With it being Mother's Day, I talked to my mom. I was like, you know, what do you want? And she says, well, I want a pork butt. And I said, well, if you want a pork butt, you're coming to my house. And she's like, no. So I was like, well, you're getting something I can travel with. Because, you know, you make a pork butt. What if it's not done in time when you got to leave? You know, it's kind of got to be one of those things where sometimes it's easier to cook when everybody's coming to your house. You know what I'm saying?
I do. Yeah, absolutely.
So I'm doing
Mike's, Mike's about to feel that with all the neighbors coming to his house here recently.
Yeah, you're getting a feel of this.
I can't wait for my giant thujas to come in, Carl. We're going to have a way. There'll be no way for them to get in. Either that or we'll have to break out the hot lead.
You know, Mike.
Security.
Mike, be good to your neighbors because then you won't have the HOA called on you all
the time. No, brother, after real quick, is Mike Conti there too? Because Mike doesn't have to deal with an HOA. Mike, after all the rigmarole over our party pergola pool palace, and I then put in for my new trees that have to be approved, approval was in 60 seconds.
So your illegal deck is no longer illegal.
That's correct. Everything's up to code.
Well, that's excellent. But Bo's right. You always want to be friends with your neighbors, especially your next door neighbors, because they can be very, very clutch when you need them, and you don't want to dislike your neighbors. Believe me, it's not a good feeling to go home and now, those people next door, are they looking at me? Fortunately, we don't have that where I live. We have great neighbors.
No. The only thing with our place is our neighbors are great. It's just when we were putting the stuff in, you get like those looky-loos. And apparently, on the other side of our development, Carl, it's the looky-loos that live in, like, I guess they consider it the nicer neighborhood. I don't know. Okay. Everything looks fine to me. But anyway, those are the ones. So when they come by and, like, they stare right at you and you wave and they don't wave back at you. It's like, what is this, the Stepford Wives? You know what I mean? It's like, hello, human interaction. So Becky's like, should I flip them off? I go, no, don't do that, Becky. Please don't do that. But anyway, there's enough. There's your update from Coweta. Enough is enough. Everything's cool now, right now, Carl. It's an unsteady, a peace. I guess you call that. We're all good. Everybody's okay.
Okay, and that's all you want. You just want peace. You don't want drama.
No, so, God know, no.
That's all you want.
Hey, by the way, real quick, I'll just draw out what we're doing. You go around the horn, Squidbilly. Becky did her own version of the Popeye's chicken on Monday. And it was unbelievable. The photos are up at Mike Bell ATL. It came out great. Carl, brioche bun, the cayenne and created the perfect flavors. It really, she knocked it out of the park. And
what did she fry it in?
She's out in back with the dog. I'll have to find out. I think she used peanut oil.
Well, I mean, was it a fry daddy or was it the cast iron skillet? Or
no, it was a fry daddy. It was a fry daddy.
Gets it deeper. You get it real deep. I did mine in the cast iron, a deep cast iron skillet, and it worked well also, but sometimes you can get it a little bit crispier in the fry daddy. Wouldn't you agree, Carl?
Yeah. When I try to emulate this, when the chicken sandwich came out, and I did this months ago, I did it, yes, and I agree with Bo on that with the crispiness. But at the end of the day, Mike, here's the deal. When you close your eyes and you bit into it,
yes, I did.
You thought it was Popeye's, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
Yeah.
Dude, and it was fantastic. So great job. Tonight, real quick, we're going to be doing just a ribeye. We're going to do, Mike, our standard operational procedure, reverse sear on that one with like a garlic olive oil kind of a glaze. Mike, have you ever had the Manhattan cut of a New York strip?
I have not heard of the Manhattan cut. I've heard of the Vegas cut, but not the Manhattan cut. Tell me more.
They had it today at the Cleaver and the Cork, which also carries Hey Man Ale. They're buddies with our buddies at Buckhead Butcher Shop who present the segment. It's basically, Mike, it's a New York strip, but it's more marbling, a little more tenderness. Mm. So it's almost, I guess it's like a cross between a strip and a ribeye. That's what it looks like to me, but I'm going to try that tonight. It's dry aged as well.
Oh, that sounds so delicious.
Yeah, dry age, you can't beat. We're just doing, I said I was going to do fajitas last week. I did those stuffed pork chops, which came out great. But we're just going to do fajitas. I'm still on this Cinco de Mayo thing after Mike got me drinking the damn Hey Man Ale watermelon lime with margaritas. So we're going to do chicken, steak. I got my peppers all seasoned up, ready to go. I was just in there playing with the meat a little bit earlier, seasoning it up. So it won't take long. I'm actually going to do it on the griddle, which is something different. I usually do this on just a regular grill with charcoal, but I'm going to try it on the griddle for the first time. I think it'll come out just fine. But, yeah, man, excited about that. So got my tortillas ready. I'm going to make some homemade guac to go along with it. So that's what I'm looking forward to. And the pictures will be up. They should be up a little bit later on tonight because we're actually going to do that today.
Yeah, and that's kind of what we're doing. So for Sunday, it's easier to travel with flank steak. So we're doing carne asada, kind of. We're not doing the steak fajitas, but I marinate that. And me and Mike Conti have talked about this, putting it in some lime juice. You know, I put some cilantro, some salt, pepper, some sugar in there, and you just let it sit I do a Ziploc bag and let it sit for 24 hours.
Yeah.
When you cook the meat, it is so tender and so flavorful. Wouldn't you agree, Mike?
Absolutely. The more acidic, the better, because it's going to break down that flank steak, which is a tougher cut. So the longer you can marinate it in something really acidic, the better it's going to be. I did pulled chicken on Sunday. I was really happy with how it turned out. Went to Buckhead Butcher Shop. They had some airliner breasts, which That, if you don't know what that is, that's kind of a butterfly press with the drummy and the thigh kind of in there as well. And you just go really low and slow with Applewood. 3 hours, I think, at 250. Fell off the bone. It was great. They turned me on to a barbecue sauce that they sell there that they actually make down in Jonesboro. And it was different. I liked it. It was a little more on the vinegary side with a lot of black pepper. Really complimented the pulled chicken well. So some good recommendations from Buckhead Butcher Shop. That was a really, really fun thing to do on Sunday. The grilling weather this weekend.
Excellent.
Could not be better. Could not be better today and tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm with you, Mike Conti. It is Dukes and Bell. It's our hashtag, Dukes and Bell tailgate at home. Mike Conti and Bo and Mike and I have all been engaging in this for months now, and we continue because we love it, but you guys love it as well. And we love seeing your pictures. We love you sharing with us. Here are the tags. It's hashtag Dukes and Bell tailgate at home. But send it to Mike Bell, ATL. I'm at Put 'em Up. See Dukes. Mike Conti, 929. Squidbilly, 929. We'll certainly respond. We'll interact, guys. We just want to see what you got cooking, and we absolutely love it. Real quick, Mike
Conti. I said it, Mike. He screwed us.
No. Again, that's not germane to this conversation. By the way, and if you got mom in the picture, make sure mom's out there. If you're grilling for mom on Mother's Day, share that with us, too.
Please do. That has happened in years past where mom's drinking a Hey Man Ale, which I love. Even grandma. Mike Conti, real quick, big weekend, obviously, with the Hawks. You know, they get a couple of days off. But can we get to that fourth spot?
I absolutely think they can. I don't think they can go higher than four, but yeah. Now, again, the Knicks have proven me wrong all year, but the Knicks, their next three games, Suns, Clippers, Lakers, I don't see a lot of winnable games in there. They're all on the road for the Knicks. The Hawks, meanwhile, finish out Washington, Orlando, Houston. They're almost certainly going to win the last two. If they can split with Washington, I think at the very least the Hawks are going to be in that 4-5 series, maybe the fifth seed, maybe the fourth. So last night's loss was really not that damaging. You wanted to get that win, obviously. It could have made things a lot easier going into this week. But in my opinion, not a very damaging loss last night. And DeAndre Hunter is going to practice 5-on-5 tomorrow, according to Nate McMillan. So that is a really good sign going into, you know, him potentially coming back on Monday.
Mm-hmm. I'm with you. We need as many healthy bodies. By the way, he's really the only one that we haven't seen or gotten back yet. Cam Reddish, that's still a question mark, but we need, I think, DeAndre Hunter. All right, Conti, great job as always. And by the way, Atlanta United, Sunday, Mother's
Day. Oh, yeah.
Psst.
Hey, Mike, real quick. Sorry to cut you off, Carl. Mike, just real quick, with obviously without Barco, and we're still trying to, you know, find our number 10 to be playing like a number 10. How tough is this going to be against Miami?
I really like Marcelino Moreno in this match quite a bit. Jason and I were talking about it today. Miami is down one and maybe two right back, so Atlanta United's right side could really be very, very effective against Miami. The thing about this match I don't like, Mike, you've been down to Fort Lauderdale. I've been down to Fort Lauderdale. Mid-May at 1 in the afternoon, unless you're on the beach, it's not a lot of fun to be in Fort Lauderdale that time of day, that time of year. So I think conditions might be a factor, but I don't necessarily think it affects one team more than the other.
Hey, man, enjoy your cooking this weekend. Bo Morgan, let's get out of here.
All right, guys, as always, we'll appreciate and give a shout-out to Buckhead Butcher Shop, who apparently have ostrich eggs, as we saw today on Instagram. Check them out on Instagram and Twitter. Chris, hit the music.
Yeah, man. By the way, Carl, speaking of ostrich eggs and all things Evian, or Avian, you got to give me some advice as a homeowner. How do I get these birds out of the pergola? These are first world problems. Hey, man, speaking of, you can't grill a finch, Carl. I think the ASPCA would get upset. But if you do like chicken wings, Hoots Wings also bring the segment to you. Go to hootswings.com. They got our beer, Hey Man Ale, at all three locations. Look for the orange awning. Get to Buffalo Shrimp at Hoots Wings.
Hey, man, coming up, what Nick Saban say in response to a coach saying they're going to kick Alabama's butt. You'll hear it next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours.
And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.